Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The hours go by so quickly. That was 1 hour already in the books, and now here we are moving forward into hour number two. And I do want to get into this conundrum, this problem, this issue, this challenge for the NFL that is the Rooney Rule. So we'll do that coming up here in 15 minutes after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We do have a toll-free number for you to use, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It is easy peasy. No, the copy doesn't actually say that, so I shouldn't add on the peasy. It felt like it worked really well. Plus, it seemed more like me, you know. Now, this time on our last show, producer Chris put up a crazy poll. Does pineapple belong on pizza? It's still going on. No, this is not like Monday MVP or Touchdown Tuesday, but everyone likes pizza. So if you haven't yet voted on our latest poll, well, then you can do that. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
The no's have it, but barely. So if you want to flip the script, peeps, if you love pineapple on your pizza, well, then you better get there and vote. The funny thing is, people tried to go all political PC on the poll. They told me how this is America. Of course people can put pineapple on their pizza if they want to. Duh. On our Facebook page, too, some people got very fired up about the fact that we couldn't tell other Americans what to put on their pizza. Okay. Yes, you're right. In this PC world of pizza, we shouldn't be telling other people what to eat on their pizza. Here's the thing. If someone tells me what to put on my pizza, I'll just say, I don't care what you think. I'm going to put whatever I want on my pizza. So come on. Don't make everything political. Not everything, including pizza, needs to be PC. For heaven's sake, I'm not going to repeat it. I was going to say something non-PC that we were talking about in the final hour of our show last time we were here, but I don't want to bring it up again. That's what the podcast is for. It's immortalized in the podcast. I can't do anything about it, but I guess I don't need to bring it up. Yeah, one guy called me insane because I wanted to have beef/hamburger on my pizza. Someone else told me that's not Italian. He's sad and surprised that as an Italian person, I would put beef or hamburger on my pizza. Funny thing is, I got it from my Italian grandfather. That's where it came from. So I'm good. I'm good with my family heritage. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It is still National Pizza Week, though I don't anticipate us having a lot more to talk about with the pizza. But your thoughts on where and how and what makes the best pizza were really entertaining to read. So I appreciate that. A lot of debate, of course, about what should happen with Carlos Beltran and the Mets now in the wake of this whole electronic sign-stealing scheme that he was very much a part of. We've already seen some figureheads, I guess, role players lose their gigs, even though they're not with the Astros anymore. In the case of an Alex Cora, he hasn't been with the Astros for years, but he still lost his job for it. And so it's interesting to hear the reports that the Mets are trying to figure out how they want to handle this. They're gauging Beltran. I don't even know what that word means. I know what the word means, but I don't really know why it would be applicable in this particular situation. Beltran will not be disciplined by Major League Baseball. So if there is going to be discipline for Beltran, or if the hammer is going to drop on Beltran, it would be the Mets doing it all on their lonesome. So this is completely different than the Astros and the Red Sox, where Major League Baseball, while it didn't force the hand of these owners and these organizations, it left them with very few options. I heard someone compare this to the bounty hunting situation in New Orleans. You guys remember that? And Sean Payton was suspended for a year. Greg Williams was suspended for, well, indefinitely. It turned out to be roughly a year. He wasn't with the Saints when he was serving his suspension. He was out of New Orleans. But the Saints agreed. The Saints were never going to fire Sean Payton. But to me, it's a little bit different for a couple of reasons. Number one, there are so many fewer games in the NFL. And I know that a head coach doesn't just deal with games. I understand his responsibilities are far more extensive than that. But to go through a Major League Baseball season in which you have spring training and spring training games, which don't really matter all that much, but then 162 game slate and potentially postseason as well, and you're going to do that without a manager? And you're going to have your clubhouse and your roster work with another manager for months and months and months, and then you're going to biff that guy and bring in someone else? I feel like that's too much to ask of a clubhouse and a team. Now, we have seen situations where we've had interim head coaches who stepped in because a coach was sick or because a coach was unavailable because of personal matters. I think back to the Indianapolis Colts when Chuck Pagano was getting treated for cancer and Bruce Arians stepped up along with his coaching staff and they led the Colts for the majority of that season. There was extensive communication, though, with Pagano the entire time. And even though Bruce Arians was the guy on the sidelines, Pagano was still very much a presence with his team. Sean Payton, obviously, is a Super Bowl winner. And the Saints felt like their organization couldn't find somebody better. He was starting to build something there, la, 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 la. So, yeah, to me, it's a different situation. 162 games, you spend so much time together during a baseball season. You're just together nonstop with these long road trips. You see more of your baseball team than you do of your family. And so it's just a different type of a situation. So I don't think that it doesn't seem plausible to me that you could keep a manager who was suspended for a full year and then hand the reins back over to him when his suspension was done. I feel like that's a disservice to your clubhouse. However, Carlos Beltran hasn't managed even one game yet. In fact, he hasn't even gotten to spring training yet. So the Mets could very well cut the ties. And they obviously would have to find someone else, but it wouldn't be as though they're jerking their clubhouse around. Here's something that I think is important. I don't know that I think Beltran needs to be fired. The fact that Major League Baseball is declining to discipline him because he was a player at the time seems to me that the Mets are just in this perfect little space where they can say, we're moving forward with our manager. We understand what he did when he was a player, but he's not a player anymore. And this is the opposite of what Scott Miller told us when he joined us on the show last night. How can Beltran be extended the privilege of managing when the other guys were going to be deprived of that? Except Major League Baseball's not taking away his right to manage. So I don't think the Mets' hand is being forced at all. They could stand pat. But here's the element that I continually remember. The Mets don't like it when they get criticized. The Mets very much are swayed by the winds of criticism. They don't like it. And have you noticed that Brody Van Wagenen is fairly sensitive to what the media says and to what fans say? But forget even Brody. The ownership doesn't like it. Now, I don't think I have no idea how the majority of Mets fans feel. when people tell me Beltran should be fired or Beltran shouldn't be fired, they don't identify themselves as Mets fans or not on our social media. But he hasn't managed a game yet. So either way, I think the Mets are fine. Beltran is a brand new manager, which means they don't even know what they're getting anyway. He was very well respected. Obviously, is a guy that's recently retired and did a lot of mentoring when he was with the team. And so the younger players, they responded to him. And that type of communication and relationship aspect, he definitely would have. But we have no idea whether or not he's going to be a good manager. You don't know until someone starts making those in-game decisions. Gabe Kapler definitely needed a learning curve, even though he played, even though he actually managed in the minors. It's still, when he got to the major leagues, it's just different. And so if the Mets have a backbone, I would think that they wouldn't be making a change at manager. But sometimes the Mets don't have a backbone. If I'm the Mets, I'm saying go back and read the commissioner's memo. He's not punishing our manager. Thus, we don't have to punish him either. That's what I'm saying if I really believe in Beltran. Now, I don't know if they hired him, so you would think they really believe in him. I feel like the longer it drags on, the better the chances that Beltran gets fired. They've issued no statements claiming that he's going to remain their manager or anything of the sort. So right now, they're talking about it. They're sleeping on it again. Yeah, don't be wishy-washy, Mets. If you want the guy, keep him. Basil's not punishing him. You don't need to get rid of him. And honestly, New York sports fans will move on to something else pretty quickly. Will he have to answer a lot of questions initially? Absolutely. But that's what spring training's about. In fact, I say trot him out in front of the media, let him answer questions, and then that's it. Move on. It's a very furiously spinning news cycle, especially in New York sports, where there are a variety of teams and always newsmakers. It'll die down. By the time you get to the first game of the season, it doesn't matter anymore, in my opinion. Except the Mets are moving slowly. Again, swayed by the winds of criticism. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. At this point, we're all guessing about what the Mets will do. Straight ahead, really insightful comments from Art Rooney of the Pittsburgh Steelers about the Rooney Rule and where it's coming up short and what might need to change. It's hard to mandate something like this. But if you're going to mandate it, that teams consider minorities, well, the mandate is that they at least interview them. So think about the Dallas Cowboys. It was clear that they wanted Mike McCarthy, and yet they interviewed Marvin Lewis. Why? Well, because they had to fulfill the Rooney Rule. I give credit to Marvin Lewis. He said he didn't care. He was happy to interview. He was pleased that they asked him. And even if he was the token Rooney Rule interview, he was still fine with it and wasn't going to be offended over it. I appreciate that about him. And also, I'm the person who says, just give me a chance. You may not have very high expectations, but you give me a chance and I'll blow you away.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
When I was in college, my roommate listened to this song incessantly. I still don't know what it's about, nor who it's by, and I do not like it. But she used to listen to that song nonstop. She also listened to the Beatles nonstop. Now, I'm not a huge Beatles fan. I do appreciate the phenomenon, and it's kind of fun to hear my mom talk about the Beatles. Not my kind of music. That's what I know that song for. She used to sing that and play it all the time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for caring. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Art Rooney is the son of the late Dan Rooney, for whom the Rooney Rule is named. But I still think it's pretty amazing that the family name is on the rule. And it was something that Dan Rooney was very passionate about. And now his son carries that forward. So the Steelers owner and chairman is now Art Rooney. And he did a sit-down interview with Steve Wyche on the NFL Network. Steve has been a guest here on the show before. But I really appreciated his candor, as well as the fact that he's willing, even with the family name on the rule, he's willing to admit it's not what they anticipated. It's not working the way they hoped.
I think where we are right now is not where we want to be, not where we need to be. And we need to take a step back and look at what's happening with our hiring processes. The first thing we'll do as part of our diversity committee is really review this past season's hiring cycle and make sure we understand what went on and talk to the people involved, both on the owner side, management side, as well as the people that were interviewed. And then I think, the thing I think we have to look at is back when the Rooney Rule was passed and put into effect in 2003, there was a period there where we did see an increase in minority hiring at the head coach position. And I think over a period of time, there were 10 or 12 minority coaches hired. Since then, that trend seems to have reversed itself, particularly in the last few years.
Rooney is part of the committee, which is supposed to address diversity and diversity in hiring. And he points to a recent trend. At the beginning of the 2018 season, there were 8 head coaches that were minorities, 7 black and then 1 Hispanic, 1 Latino in Ron Rivera. Now, moving forward, and we're not quite to the 2020 season, but that's where we're all lined up for. Only 3 black head coaches and Rivera now employed by the Redskins. And so the number's been cut in half in the last 2 years. The NFL is obviously not going to mandate who teams have to hire. The whole idea behind the Rooney Rule is to give opportunities to interview to minority coaches. But there are certainly some around the league who would say it's become a joke. Now, I told you I appreciate that Marvin Lewis is refusing to take it that way. He's, at least publicly, not said anything, but I am grateful to the Dallas Cowboys for allowing me to interview for the job. I certainly, myself, as a minority, certainly in our business, I've always just been grateful for opportunities to interview. I've been passed over for a lot of jobs. I don't have to tell you why. I don't have to explain it. It is what it is in this business. But I always believe that if I had an opportunity to interview and get in front of the decision makers, I could make an impression. And maybe it wouldn't get me a job then, but that it wasn't a waste of time because it would be a lasting impression. So if that's how Marvin Lewis feels, and he really is being truthful when he says he appreciates that Jerry Jones gave him the opportunity, that he wasn't just a sacrificial lamb, that he refuses to look at himself as the token, well, then I really appreciate that. Because you never know. You never know when a really good interview and a connection with a potential boss, whether it's football or any other industry, could result in that boss maybe changing his mind if his mind's already made up. And I'm using the Cowboys as an example because it seems pretty clear that they wanted to hire Mike McCarthy from the beginning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So how do you fix it? How do you change it if, in fact, it's not working?
We'll look at a lot of different things. In fact, this time last year, we made some changes to the Rooney Rule, and we required the interview to come from somebody outside the organization because we didn't want it just to be an internal situation where somebody down the hall was called down to the office for an interview. So that we changed that rule last year. Obviously, we have to look at what we can do differently now, and perhaps even expand the Rooney Rule into some of the lower levels, perhaps the coordinator level, just to make sure that the minority opportunities are there.
So I like that change, because you don't want someone from inside of your organization just be used, someone that you never intended to hire. You just, in that case, then you're absolutely skirting the Rooney Rule by making someone a token. I definitely think that it's about more minority coordinators, more minorities in positions where they are making decisions, because those are generally the jobs from which you see head coaches. What's the word I'm using? I had a word in my head and it just disappeared. Spring. You see the head coaches spring from coordinator jobs if a team is going in a different direction, right? So if a team is looking for something fresh and new, a lot of times they're pulling from coordinator jobs. So it's a pipeline. And I'll go back to my own business and use the example of network radio. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, network radio is the pinnacle, similar to how the NFL and being a head coach is the pinnacle. That's the dream. There are only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. There are only so many network hosting gigs around the country. But you can't take a female who's got very little experience, who maybe has done a college football podcast on the side, and throw her into a network radio hosting job. It doesn't work that way. There need to be more women who are working at local radio, who are hosting their own shows, who are not just sidekicks or update anchors, but who are driving the bus for their own shows. Because then you have more women to pull from when it comes to a network radio job. My boss is a great supporter of me as a female. He doesn't treat me any differently because I'm not male in this business. He's proud of me. He wants me to be who I am. I mean, I've had bosses in the past who told me I should act more like a guy. I shouldn't laugh so much because it takes away from my credibility. I shouldn't talk about anything other than sports because I can't get away with it. I mean, all that kind of stuff. This particular boss, my boss, is amazing and wants me to be Amy. Doesn't care what gender Amy is, as long as Amy is good at what she does. And so I do believe that my boss would be thrilled to have more females host, whether it's the New York affiliate or whether it's the network. The problem is, where do you find female hosts? Because there aren't that many who are doing their own shows at the local level. And now back to the NFL, it's the same thing. If you don't have the training ground of minorities in coordinator positions or positions on a coaching staff where they are responsible for making decisions, maybe play calling. So we just saw Joe Brady move from LSU passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator for the Panthers, right? So he was responsible for decision making. There's got to be some responsibility on the shoulders, because you're not going to promote a guy, more than likely, you're not going to promote a guy who's, you know, coaching only left guards, or there's so many coaches in the NFL. So the Rooney Rule has to not just look out for coaches, head coaches, but it has to look out for the other positions as well. So maybe they expand it to include other positions. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I just saw this tweet from Greg. Blacks are about 14% of the U.S. population. Now, I'm not confirming that. That's what Greg is telling me. I'm just reading you the tweet. I can't confirm it right now. He says there are 32 head coaching jobs. That means the same representation would be 4.5 coaches. Right now, there are 3. How much more effective does the Rooney Rule need to be? But Greg, you're missing the smaller population of the NFL. Nearly 70% of the NFL is African American. So there should be more coaches who are African American or minorities. Now, this is actually going back a few years, so maybe the number is slightly different, but roughly 70%. And so that would stand to reason that there would be more coaches who are African American who look like the majority of the NFL, not just because of a Rooney rule, but because they make good candidates. And not everybody wants to coach, I get it. But there are absolutely more African Americans who want to coach than who are currently in those positions. Again, A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. How would you change it? Would you change it? Do you think there should be no mandate, stricter mandate? It shouldn't be a joke. If you're going to do it, do it in a way that makes an impact.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
About 10 feet and it went down.
Doncic walks it across the line against Fox. The show by Bagley. They didn't get over there to double him. He turns the corner, protects the ball on the run, around and down for Doncic. 24 for Luka Doncic.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Another day, another big piece of history for Luka Doncic. This is becoming the norm for the Dallas Mavericks star. So in this game, as you hear with Chuck Cooperstein on the Dallas Mavericks radio network, Doncic ends up with, in this case, 25 points, but you heard kind of the last field goal there, but also has 17 assists and 15 rebounds. Wowzers, these are eye-popping numbers. And yet it's just the norm for him. This is what he does. And every night he's got some other category where he goes above and beyond. So for the first time in Dallas Mavericks franchise history, there's a 25-15-15 game, meaning 25 points, at least 15 rebounds, at least 15 assists. But Doncic is also the youngest player in NBA history to have a triple-double in which he had at least 15 rebounds and 15 assists. He's the youngest player in NBA history to have a triple-double with 17 assists. And so however you dice it up, he is shattering the glass ceiling for players his age. I mean, we've never seen a guy step onto the NBA stage like this one and put up these kinds of numbers. We have seen other teenagers get into the NBA. We saw even LeBron James, a great example, coming right out of high school before they changed the rule. But this guy is groomed, and he can do everything. That's the amazing thing about Luka. There really isn't anything on the basketball court that is outside of his repertoire. And so for the Dallas Mavericks, it's fun to watch. They get another victory, this time over the Sacramento Kings. They're now at 26-15. And where, oh, where would they be without Luka Doncic to fill up the stat sheet?
These numbers are just crazy, you know? I mean, 15-17, along with, you know, 25 points. It's just it's hard to fathom. And, you know, they're trapping him all over the court every time down, and he's both beating the traps and playing beautifully out of the traps. So, you know, he had an amazing game. And once again, I just thought from top to bottom, everybody played real well.
Rick Carlisle doesn't have Kristaps Porzingis, who has been missing games because of soreness in one of his knees. And that's a bummer for them because they were kind of looking at this season as a fresh start where they would have Doncic, obviously was the star last year, but, you know, taking over as the face of the franchise for Dirk Nowitzki, but also that he would have a running mate in KP and Kristaps Porzingis. But Porzingis has been in and out of the lineup, and still, they're 11 games above 500. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Rashad is listening in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
I was calling about the minority thing. I feel like the way you said it was the best way to even speak on it, because, okay, I know we started off with 7 head coaches. Now we have 3, and that's including Rod Rivera. And I'm just, if you're not qualified for the position, you're just not qualified for it. I mean, I don't understand why is it a big deal about if it's 5 minority coaches or is it 1? If you're just not qualified for that position, you're just not qualified for it. I mean, I don't understand what's the big deal.
Right. Okay. But here's the thing. And as I was saying, I would agree that you need to have more qualified candidates. That means having more minorities as coordinators, because that's the general pipeline to get to head coaches. Far be it from me to say who's a racist and who's not a racist. Okay. So I'm not labeling anyone a racist. You can't make that type of determination from afar. But the idea would be to make sure that there are opportunities for minorities to have interviews, at least to be considered. And yes, it's a mandate, but it's not saying that the teams have to hire the minorities, only that there should be interviews offered to them to make sure that there's balance. And it's still, I guess, a type of a quota system, but the NFL is not telling the league who to hire, only to give opportunities to minority coordinators or candidates so that they have the chance to interview as well.
And I respect that, Amy, but I'm pretty sure if Mike Tomlin was to get fired, he would be a great candidate for other teams. I understand that, you know, they're giving us a chance as an African-American or a Hispanic to go and interview for that position. But let's just like say the Cowboys, they wanted Mike McCarthy. That's just something they wanted. But they didn't say they're not going to take other interviews. Maybe you interview and maybe they saw you was a good offensive coordinator or you could have been a defensive coach. It's not that. It's just not that many minorities that making a name for themselves to get a head coaching position. I mean, besides the ones that we have now in the league, it's really just not that many for you to take over a head coaching position. I don't care if you're white, black, orange, green. It doesn't matter by the color or the race. If you're just not qualified, you're not. If they interview you, then it's going to be something else. Well, they just interviewed me because they didn't want to get seen as a racist. It's not. To me, and I'm an African-American myself, and I've been through situations, but I don't look at it as a race thing. If I'm not qualified, I'm just not qualified.
I got you, but Rashad, where's the next Mike Tomlin? That's the point. I agree with you. I think Mike Tomlin's a brilliant coach, and he would absolutely get another job if that's what he wanted, but where's the next Mike Tomlin? That's kind of the point. So again, the Rooney Rule is not just about head coaches, though that's where the focus has been, but there needs to be a pipeline. There needs to be more opportunities given to minority coaches at the coordinator position, or the opportunities where they can move up and kind of through the ranks. And again, I think it's because the NFL is sensitive to the fact that you've got nearly 70% of your players on rosters who are African American. So why aren't there more coaches who reflect that population?
But that's not an answer for us, Amy. I mean, how many African American head coaches are making a name for themselves besides Mike Tomlin, and the one that just went to the Dolphins? I can't think of his
name
right
now. Brian Flores.
How many are in the limelight right now to even say, let's give him a chance as a coaching a job? Well, what has he done? What's his resume? You really just can't outpoint none as of right now. I mean,
well, no, that's not true. I just talked about Robert Saleh, who is the defensive coordinator for the Niners, Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, and typically Andy Reid coaching tree has done very well. I mean, there are certainly others, and they've had interviews. And yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for them to at least get in front of the decision makers. I understand what you're saying. You can't mandate if a guy wants to hire someone for his business and he happens to be white. Well, you can't mandate someone who hires. But the idea is that then you would have more coaches available, as you talk about, to interview because they're in positions in their own organizations where they're decision makers. So, I mean, I get it. It's hard to mandate something like that because you can't tell a team what to do. But still, I still think it needs to be a consideration.
Yeah, it does. I really do agree with that. Yeah, it really does. But I'm also looking at it. I don't really think it's a huge problem, which I would like to see more minorities as head coaches. But, I mean, if just not qualified,
I gotcha. That's
just how I'm going with it.
I gotcha. But, again, part of the – Rashad, thank you for your phone call. Part of the problem, yes, you can't just mandate at the highest level. There have to be more candidates who are coming up through the ranks of the coaching tree, whether it's coordinators, whether it's – coaches who are trying to be coordinators. I mean, there has to be more of that. And I don't know how you mandate that. I mean, it's hard. Unless you're going to extend the Rooney Rule to every position, then it's hard to do. And you can easily point to it and say it's racism. But to me, that's a cop-out. There's a bigger issue here. It's not that I don't know that there are a lot of owners. Again, who am I to point at someone and say racist, not a racist? That's ridiculous. I can't do that. But there are a lot of owners who are upset by the fact that the numbers have dropped and that they feel like the Rooney Rule is not working. So there are owners who are on board and want to be able to give minorities more opportunities, but it has to come from lower in the ranks before they can be trained to be head coaches. All right. We'll continue to take your calls, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're just in the throes of a show. Here we go. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.